Welcome to Ray and Kay Today, talking sports with friends.
Sports radio on the dial. Check us out. We'll make you smile. And they spit it, don't play. And we're talking nothing but the NFL and NBA, MLB, college football.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. This is an unbelievable Monday because we're here talking with talking sports. So join the ride. You're listening to Ray and Tay Today, and I'm Ray, Paul Rayside.
I'm rolling with you, Ray. This is Tay, Eric Taylor. And like Ray said, join us. Give us a call, 718-664-9098. Like always, shoot us your emails. I have to get some on the air. I just saw an interesting one from a guy down in Maryland, Kevin, so we'll have to get to that. So the email is rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. And the website is rayandtaytoday.com. Pretty interactive and cool. A lot of things on there. A lot of just sports info and different questions. A lot of poll questions. So go check out the website. Subscribe to us on YouTube. You can listen to old episodes. Great interviews with Seth Davis, Ian Bagley, Bob Brenly, Charles Davis, George Reister. A lot of fun stuff and a lot of interviews within depth on other shows. Paula Duca, Elizabeth Imus. Right, Zero, Don Amis' daughter. So check out Ray and Tay Today. You can hear a lot of cool stuff. Tweet at us, Facebook, check us out there. We're everywhere. Ray, the question of the day. I'll just say first, how about the Ray's Cowboys? But are the Cowboys? Are the Cowboys who upset the Seahawks in Seattle, are they the number one team in the NFL? Because they sure are playing like it, Ray. What do you say, man?
Well, you know what Bill Parcells said? You are what your record says you are. Woo. So, by record, the Dallas Cowboys are the real deal. I love it.
Amazing.
But I'm a realist, and I realize that there are currently, three teams, Philly, Dallas, and San Diego are all 5-1. And then Arizona's 4-1, so they had the bye already. So they're one game, they've played one fewer game. Are Philly, Dallas, and San Diego? I'll put them all three together. So because I'm a Cowboys fan, so I don't want to be biased. So are those three teams the best three teams in football? I would say no, but I'll take it for now. Right now,
two of those teams beat the defending champs, and one of them beat them in the champs' house. And that's your Cowboys. Chargers beat Seattle in their house in the Heat. But, I mean, listen, I mean, let's not – I don't want to sugarcoat it, let me step up and say this because you are a Cowboy fan. What I saw on Sunday was, I don't want to say total domination, but they handled the Seahawks. Because let's be honest, the Seahawks did not move the ball. They could barely run it. The two touchdowns that they had special teams, the block punt.
Right. If it wasn't for special teams, this game wouldn't even be this close.
They put the hammer down on them, and Doug Baldwin called the team out and said, "We got to stop reading our own press clippings, and the offense has got to get it together and get moving." Russell Wilson had a bad game. The Cowboys, that catch by Terrence Williams, that might have been the best catch of the season. That was amazing. Clutch, Romo. McClain with an interception. The defense just, you know, you kept waiting to see if the Cowboys would, oh, here they go again. And no, there was none of that. They just dominated the game. And we got to salute because when we talk about MVP, and we've been mentioning it for a couple of weeks, well, you know what? He's still doing it with 5 or 6 receptions, 115 yards. DeMarco Murray is the leader in the clubhouse behind Andrew Luck, is behind him, Phillip Rivers, and J.J. Watt. But DeMarco Murray can break next week against the Giants, which is very possible, could break Jim Brown's record, which is tied now, 6 games starting the season with over 100 yards consecutively. O.J. was 5, Jim Brown, DeMarco Murray 6. Well, you know what? Next week he's going for 7. So, listen, I got to applaud your Cowboys. And for the fans that know the show, you're a Cowboy fan. I'm a Steeler fan. I do not like the Cowboys, but – respect is respect, and that That, my friends, is how they won their championships with the big three, a good defense. And can we salute Rod Marinelli, the defensive coordinator? I mean, what a coaching job. These guys are playing great, Ray. I'm impressed. I got to say, I am. The offensive line is a monster.
You know, I'm surprised, more surprised than the next guy, because I'm a huge Cowboys fan. But for a team that had the worst defense in the history of football, and not even exaggerating, I mean, it was historically bad last year.
Yeah.
And you could argue lost talent from that team.
Oh, yeah.
Specifically DeMarcus Ware. And had some question marks at the safety position. And Mo Claiborne, the number one pick, number six overall pick, has never really developed into the player that they thought he would be. And Sean Lee keeps getting hurt. And, you know, and. The one thing the Cowboys were able to do is quietly secure that offensive line and get back to running the ball. And just, I tell you what, I'm as surprised as the next guy. 5-1 Cowboys. That's got a good ring to it. But I still think that the Eagles are the best team in that NFC East. But we'll talk about this game
in
a second.
They play in two weeks.
The Giants now, probably with the loss of Victor Cruz, probably fall out of playoff contention. So now you're talking about Giants and Skins are going to be at the bottom of that division. So you're really just talking about Dallas and the Eagles to win the division. And then if you're 5-1 already, you got to think you're in contention for a wild card, because, you know, you only have to win, what, 10 games in the NFC to be a wild card? Maybe 9 or 10 in the NFC to be a wild card. So
they got a real shot.
Cowboy fan, it's looking
good. It's a good day.
But I don't want to get caught up in the moment.
Listen,
I've been disappointed so many times.
Yeah, we'll get back to the NFL, but I got to tell you, and we'll get to all those injuries, a couple of things before we get into the baseball playoffs. The NBA, LeBron James and Kevin Love look like they've been playing together, Ray, for about 10 years. And they look really nice together in Rio de Janeiro without Kyrie and Dion Waiters. That team is going to be really good. They beat the Heat. I don't know if you saw LeBron made a pick for Norris Cole or whatever. He forgot what team he was on. But I got to tell you, the Cavs look like, I mean, Thompson and Waiters are going to benefit so much from playing with LeBron. It's going to be fascinating. It's preseason, but it's nice to see guys. And I want to ask you, because, let me get to this email. So, Kevin, we got Kevin from Silver Spring.
Is Kevin Love emailing us about himself?
No, this is this is another Kevin, but the email is about his both of his guys in the area and the team. With Kevin Durant and Bradley Beal out, both for about, 2 months around the same time, who needs to step up to help OKC and the Washington Wizards keep pace? And should Ray Allen sign with either of those two teams or go with the Cavs? So great question, Kevin from Silver Spring. I'll let you take a stab at it first. What do you think about the injuries? Who will step up, and where should Ray Allen go?
Well, I tell you what, Oklahoma City is good enough that they just need to hold down the fort. They just need to be. They can win on the road. They don't even need to be a top five, four seed to get a.
And that's about 26 games they'll both miss. 2 months. So it's about. So that's a good amount of games, 25 to 26.
You know,
games.
I like the big kid, Steven Adams. I think if he steps up, if they get a little bit from Lamb,
Mitch McGarry got hurt. He's only going to miss about a week or two of the season.
Yeah, I think all of those guys just need to do a little bit, because you're a championship level team. You know, I thought they were going to give the Spurs a run for the money, but Ibaka got hurt those first two games and never really recovered. So
it allows Westbrook to score 40 a night.
Yeah, and you know what? And you don't need Westbrook to go crazy. You just need to play your game. Play your game, go 500, you get the MVP back, you'll be fine. So I think it's just incremental improvement. If you sign Ray Allen, look, Ray Allen is an asset to any team that's going for a championship. So, you know, he would be great on Washington to take up some of those minutes that Bradley Beal's going to miss. He would be great on the Spurs. He would be great on the Cavs. He'd be great on the Clippers. He'd be great on any team that's getting ready to make a playoff push. So hold on, I think we got a caller here. Let's put this caller on the air. Hello, caller.
Hello.
You're on with Ray and Tay.
Hello, my name is Elijah, and I am from Scottsdale, Arizona.
Okay.
And you were talking a bit ago about like the NFL and like the Seahawks and the Cowboys, and I'm a Cardinals fan, and so personally I wanted to know if you thought that at this point the Cardinals were the best in the NFC West, and if not, what we'd need to do to either prove that or become that.
All right, excellent question from a Cardinals fan. Let me take
a stab at that from the young fella. I'll tell you this. I think the Cardinals with Carson Palmer as a surprise start, I thought it would have been Stanton, came back, I guess flying to Denver and getting a massage activated his nerves, and he came back and played pretty good. Fitzgerald had his best game, which is, I think, is what they need. Fitzgerald needs to be a part of this offense. And I think right now the Cardinals with the best record in the NFC West, I think there's no reason to think that they cannot keep it going. And if they can't win the division, I think that this year they definitely are in the running for the wild card. And see, let's be honest, Seattle and San Francisco, who plays tonight, and we'll preview that game later at the end of the show, so you know, make sure you listen to that. But I think the Cardinals, they can fight with any of those teams. So they got a good shot to be the best team in the NFC West. And I know if you listen to the show, you know that Ray's been fronting on your Cardinals. But this week he finally predicted them to win. He finally, you know, believed in the Cardinals. So, Ray, what do you think about the best team in the NFC West? Could it be the Cardinals right now? Playing some good ball.
I'll tell you what, they're playing better than those other two teams. I think over a 16-game schedule, though, Seattle and San Francisco are better. But I will tell you this. All three playoff teams from the NFC, or I should say the two wild cards, let's put it that way, could be from the NFC West. My only problem, though, is they beat up on each other, though, because they each play each other twice. So that's six games that they all play against each other. But I've got to think, watch out if you're the rest of the NFC, because that NFC West might just be, it's too bad that Bradford went down, because if St. Louis were 8-8, they would be by far the best division. But this AFC West, this NFC West is just fantastic. It's a great division. And you know what? The Cardinals have every right to think that they can make the playoffs and win that division. Seattle, like Doug Baldwin said, they're a little too high on themselves. And San Francisco isn't playing like what I keep calling the best team in football the last 3 years. So why not? It's just for the taking, and Arizona's taking it so far. So I take my hat off to the Cardinals.
Thank you for your input. I hope that we do well. Okay.
Do you
All right, great call.
This, Elijah, do you trust Carson Palmer? Big game. You think he can step
I
up?
I think that I think that he has a bit of a tendency to be a bit wild when he in big games and big situations. But I think that with Bruce Arians behind him, that he'll get it together eventually.
And I tell you what, a star is born in Andre Ellington and Flory.
Yeah.
So it used to be the Larry Fitzgerald show, but now there are a lot of options. You could argue Larry Fitzgerald's the third most important offensive player on that team. Maybe he draws some double coverage still, but those other two guys can play.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right,
yes,
great call, Elijah. Yeah. Thanks for joining us on Ray and Tay. Keep on listening, buddy.
Okay, I definitely will. Bye.
Appreciate the love.
All right, great. So, you know, that's what you like to hear, the young listeners calling in and Cardinal fans and stuff like
with
that.
Good questions, too.
Exactly.
Like
very good questions. Now, we got to mention this before we, get into the baseball, baby, and those Cardinals. Craziness this weekend in NASCAR. What do you think about that with these guys and the fighting? And even my 5-year-old was commenting on it. Dad, why are they fighting and this and that?
But they don't fight in Cars, the movie, right?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. That was kind of wild. And who, Logano came in third or fourth. Was it Harvick that won?
Harvick, Gordon, McMurray, Logano.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Obviously, there's one more. Is it one more race before the next cut? Well, they might have two. I can't remember. But, you know, they're going to, you know, cut down from the 16. They already did 16 to 12, and then from 12 to 8. But I don't know. I got to tell you, your pick of Joey Logano was good. Jimmy Johnson is he's on the verge of maybe not making it, Ray. I don't know if you know.
Yeah, I saw that because Lowski, yeah. Jimmy Johnson, and Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Yeah.
are now.
So I believe they got a race or two left to qualify, yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll keep an eye on that with NASCAR. That's kind of interesting. Now, today we got the ALCS rained out, so they're going to go to Tuesday. So Tuesday you got a baseball doubleheader. What I love, 4:07 Eastern is the first game. So that means, ladies and gentlemen, kids, yes, kids get to see the World Series. Now, out here, my children are off this week. I mean, well, playoff, but still, they still normally don't get to see that either. So I'm just excited because I think baseball, you know, they normally don't have these early games. If they do, it's usually like in the first round. Well, now in this, you know, the ALCS and NLCS, I think you'll have a game. Let's just talk about the AL first. You gotta just tip your hat. I think what the Royals are doing, basically they're showing America that if you believe and if you get momentum and you get like karma and you get solid pitching but great defense from Aoki to Dyson to you know, and clutch hitting from Hosmer and Moustakas. I mean, these guys are just amazing. And they're up 2-0 on the Orioles. Ray, we thought it would go the distance, but neither one of us thought that it would start off 2-0. And now they're going to Kansas City. What are your thoughts with this series? Because got to be impressed with the Royals and what they're doing. It's amazing.
You know, this is one
and
of
the
those.
Home run.
Every so often, you look at a team and you say to yourself, you know what? There's some magic here.
Yeah.
And the KC Royals, their lineup is not really blowing you away. If you looked at the Royals and you said to yourself, I want to start my team with somebody on the Royals,
oof,
you'd really be hard-pressed to who would you pick? Sal
Look at
Harris,
all the stars in baseball.
James Shields. I mean, they really don't have any stud superstar top 10 player. But you know what? This is a fun team to watch. This is a team that's been scrapped. Look, they shouldn't have even won the playing game against the A's. But these guys, you know what? I don't usually do it mid-series, but I might have to change my prognostication. I might have to change my pick and go with the Royals. The Orioles are in trouble. The Orioles are in trouble. I thought they were the better team, but they're in trouble.
And that's sad for Buck and some of the guys on that team. You hope that they could get to a game six for Davis to come back. But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they wind up winning this 1-5. I think the Orioles might get one at best if they're lucky. And then it was very nice that the Cardinals, their bats woke up just in time. And Wong, bottom of the ninth, Colton Wong with the second baseman, a little guy hitting a home run to get the walk-off. I mean, that's got to be a dream, right? A walk-off homer in the playoffs to tie up the series, which was so clutch.
The second
right?
one.
Like, yeah, the
Colton
Giants could have easily the Giants could have easily gone up 2-0. So that was. And remember what I told you? Remember I said game one, my boy Madison Brubaker would get the win. They'd win game one, and that's what the Giants did. Madison is a horse, right? On the road, this guy's set a record. What is it, 16 or 18 consecutive shutout innings or something?
Wow, that's – you know what? But back at Colt Wampus, like, he makes a big error last year. Doesn't
right.
put his head down. He's the man, little guy, second base, walk-off home runs in both series. I mean, he's just playing his heart out. And then tomorrow – 4:07, John Lackey against Tim Hudson. So you got two veterans.
Veterans. Oh, yeah.
Veterans. And they each have won. They each have won in the playoffs. They've each won in the regular season. But I still come back to John Lackey is third. If they win, be in a World Series with his third different team. How crazy is that?
Yeah. And people who might not remember, Tim Hudson is the same Hudson that used to be with the Oakland A's. Pitching for all those years in the AL. So but we got to talk about, you know, what's hard is that the Cardinals, that it could be devastating losing our boy Yadier Molina, baby. Molina.
Now, that's an oblique. What did they say? How serious is that?
I think he's done for this series.
Really?
I don't know if he's done for the entire, you know, if they went to the World Series, but I think he's done for this series. So,
because he's the heart and soul of that team.
Well, yeah, and he works the pitching staff great. I mean, that's I don't know. That's a hard one. Clutch bat, veteran. But you know what? The Cardinals, this is the one thing that's so funny about this series. The Cardinals and the Giants, they just, it's two teams that no matter what, just find a way to get it done. That's why I could go game. This could easily, you know, that's why I think this is going seven. I thought the other one would go seven, but it's probably, if the Orioles push it to seven now, God bless them. That would be very impressive and a miracle, you know. But Adam Jones, you know, thinks highly and thinks, you know, they can come back and do it. And, you know, look, there's no reason why they can't, right? Those bats get hot, Ray. They can knock them out the park quickly with Baltimore. So.
Yes, that's the good thing. See, you live and die by the home run, though. Is you can swing yourself into a series in three at-bats, you know, in one inning. But like we always said, though, it's hard to consistently rely on the home run in the playoffs because you're never facing a number four or number five starter. You're always facing a top-of-the-rotation guy, and people just tend to pitch better. They tend to be more focused. They tend to be sharper. So home runs in the postseason are hard to come by. So you got to figure out a way to score runs without the long ball.
Oh, you definitely do. And there's a lot of quality pitching in all of these series and good bullpens. So, you know, well, let's take a quick break and come back with the Pigskin Saturday and Sunday. College football, Ray and Tate today, the top 25. Let's break it down.
We're back to talk football. We'll talk Saturday football, college style, Sunday football, pro style, Monday football. We talk a little bit of Monday night football tonight. And you know what? Ray and Tay are able to admit when we're wrong. We're able to admit when we overlook people, when we didn't give them credit. And we have a segment called I'm Sorry. And I think it's appropriate to throw some I'm sorry's out there. We're just gonna
Georgia,
flow. We're just
girly.
Gonna flow.
Amazing.
So let's start with Georgia. You said it. You know, I thought they'd lose.
We both thought Missouri would pull it out. You know that they still have talent, but Ray, that was Hudson Mason stepped up. The Georgia defense. I mean, to go to Missouri and dominate like that. That was outstanding. They're ranked 10, and I could question whether or not they should be higher. So going from 10 down, you got Georgia 10, Oregon 9, Michigan State 8, Alabama at 7. They barely beat Arkansas. We both thought that they would step up and smack them, and they actually got lucky to beat Arkansas in Arkansas.
They did. Little referee.
Yeah, they escaped, right? And then Auburn 6. Notre Dame in a shootout with North Carolina that they could have wound up losing, but they, you know, they're pretty dominant at five. Raised Baylor Bears and Bryce Petty for like 510 yards.
Bryce Petty for president.
They come storming back, scored a last 24 points. TCU is nobody's slouch, though. We got to give them it. I mean, they had that game. Oh, my gosh. That was an exciting game at number four. Number three, Ole Miss, like I told Ray. That they were going to handle Texas A&M and Kenny Hill. Bo Wallace is the man. Florida State drops from number one to number two in a not too impressive win over Syracuse, 38-20. You know, Florida State deserves to drop because what the Mississippi State Bulldogs have done have beaten three top 10 schools, Ray, in a row. And they get 45 first place votes, 12 for Florida State, 3 for Ole Miss. What do you think about Mississippi State and my man, Dak Prescott threw for 200 and over 50 yards, rushes for 120-something. Pretty impressive, and he's up there with Petty, Mariota up there for the Heisman. What did you think about Mississippi State?
So you know what? I need to throw a huge, huge shout-out and an I'm sorry and whatever else to the state of Mississippi.
Oh, the whole
state. I'm talking about Tuscaloosa. I'm talking about Biloxi. I'm talking about Starkville. I'm talking about all kinds of, you know, wherever you are in the state of Mississippi. You know, between Ole Miss beating Texas A&M, who I thought A&M would win, especially because the game was in Texas.
Yeah.
I owe them a huge apology. Took care of business. 35-20 wasn't even close.
Oh, they
A&M
put it on.
They put it on them, right? They were up, 21? Yeah, 21-0 at the half. Ended up playing 35-20. And then Mississippi State, like you said, I thought that even though the game was at State, it was in Starkville, I thought that they were going to win. I thought Auburn was going to go in there and win. But you know what? They took care
Prescott.
Of business. And your boy Your boy Prescott, I have to give him props. I really do.
Joke.
I mean, against an Auburn team.
He's the new Tim Tebow, baby.
That prides himself on defense, right? You know what? His stats weren't so unbelievable. But the guy led them to 38 points against a D that wasn't even giving up three touchdowns. I mean, these guys were – I was blown away. You know what? I was really blown away. And good for them. I don't know what they're doing down there in Mississippi, but they're doing something right. And, Dak,
it's about time they caught up, right?
Go get yourself a number 15 jersey and name your first child Dak. Because if they go out and win themselves a national champion, could you imagine Mississippi State national champions?
And they play Alabama in I think 3 weeks, so it's going to happen on the field.
How awesome would that be? Because, you know, all the time it's Alabama, you know, Auburn last few years, maybe even Oregon, maybe Michigan State, maybe Notre Dame. You know, if you had Mississippi
State. Talk about Mississippi.
The Bulldogs are back. I mean, where were they? I'm saying they're back, but they were never really a huge
program
powerhouse. But they're number one in the nation, and they absolutely deserve it. So good for them. 6-0, 3-0 in the SEC. My man Dak probably took over for put himself in the top three along with my boy Petty. And
Mariota's still there. Yeah. Mariota. Listen, Oregon, a good
running.
Win. Like I told you, I thought they beat UCLA. They did it, 42-30 at UCLA. Mariota plays well. Too bad, you know, I guess we won't see. I don't know what's going to happen with Gurley, but, you know, I mean, 34-0 at Mizzou, that was a special spanking from Georgia. And you have to love what USC going to Arizona and saving their season in the Pac-12 and knocking down Arizona from number 10 down a couple notches, 28-26. That was a clutch win. I thought there was just so much great football on Saturday. It was amazing. You know, it really
was.
That was
a big loss. It was a big win for SC, big loss for Arizona. Because I thought if
Arizona
wins that game, they could have been in the national championship picture. And now I think it'll be hard for them because they've got to go basically run the table. But kudos to SC. They really saved their season. Big difference between at
how
this
good
point
is
being
4-2
and 3-3.
Let me ask you, how good do you think the Big 12 is? I mean, if you look at it right here, they got TCU, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Baylor, Kansas State. I mean, they got a bunch of programs in the top 25. Big 12, really.
Look, them and the SEC, that's like 10 of the top 15. I mean, they're just killing it. Those two conferences are just killing it.
And then the Pac-12 is right behind them, the big three conferences, Arizona and Arizona State, are 16 and 17. You know, you have Oregon and UCLA in there. Utah's in there now at number 20. So, it, you know, it's very top-heavy. USC climbs back in at 22. Stanford's still there around, come back in at 23. So it's really fascinating that the three, the SEC, the Pac-12, and the Big 12, you know, right there dominating. And how about Marshall getting in the top 25 at number 25? Six and oh.
The thundering herd, right? The thundering herd of Marshall.
Only one of six teams in the top 25 that are 6-0.
So,
yep, undefeated. Kudos to them. Now, does Winston survive these hearings and play against Notre Dame? I'm not too sure. You know, more drama with that. If he plays next week against Notre Dame, it looks like he will play. But that's going to be fascinating because this is basically two against five. This can change a lot. I think if Florida State was to ever lose it, though, they'd be done. They'd be out of the top four. I don't think they'd get back in there because they don't play anybody else for the rest of the season. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that ACC is pretty weak this year.
Yeah,
they're
Duke
lucky.
Upset Georgia Tech.
Yeah, they're lucky, though, that they play Notre Dame because, you know, Notre Dame is on that half ACC schedule. So if it weren't for that, you would think Florida State's strength of schedule would be terrible. But they are playing Notre Dame. I haven't, you know, whatever powers that be will be, and they'll finagle it so that he'll play in this game, I think.
Yeah, well, they're saying, you know, they got a former judge coming in. It looks like there's three different judges or something. One listens to her, one to him, and then one listens to all of it. I don't know. It's weird. The whole thing is weird. But this is all, remember I mentioned it last year, the New York Times, and we talked about the article, and they brought up all these different things, and you know, how the police and everybody just was covering things up. So this has not been swept away, and this is going on for, you know, over a year and a half, right? So,
yeah, I
fascinating.
I don't know what's going on, but you know where there's smoke, there's fire. So typically you don't just make these things up. So something happened down there, and I don't know the extent of it, but it's not looking good. It's not looking good. Now, will Florida State buy time and just let Winston play out the season? Will this thing suddenly just get delayed by a month or two? I don't know, but it doesn't look good.
No, it doesn't, but Let's talk about it. NFL week 6, and there was a lot of good. Not too good for me as a Steeler Jet fan. Very good for Ray with the Cowboys and the Chargers, but let's start with Sunday Night Football, Ray. We got to talk about these injuries. There's a plethora. So let's get the injuries out of the way, and then we'll talk about what Philly did to the Giants. Victor Cruz, done for the season. Tore patella tendon, it's torn. He was crying. It was sad. You hate to see that. Alex Mack, the center from the Browns. I don't know if he's done for the season. I didn't get to see that, but I know that he's injured. And
the season's in doubt, they're saying. So
season's in doubt.
Right.
Then you've got who's our guy that just got hurt out for the season? Why am I drawing a blank? Because there was a major, Darren Sproles is out several weeks for the Eagles.
Oh, yeah, but Darren Sproles is sprained MCL. They'll say he might come back after the bye. So he should
Right. So
know,
he might miss a
couple of weeks. They said Calvin Johnson might miss another 2 weeks.
Right, and A.J. Green. A.J. Green's going to miss this game definitely against Indianapolis, which is a big game coming up for the Bengals. And then somebody else got hurt. That's just was bad, too, out for the season, I think. So, you know, you got a lot of these football injuries, and you really, you know, these guys, they get so banged up, and the football season is just, wait a minute, I got to figure out who this is real quick, because there's another, you know, star player. Oh, Vernon Davis will play tonight, though, for the Niners. So,
okay.
And, oh, Stephen Ridley, how could I forget? Stephen Ridley out for the season. There you go. Stephen Ridley for the New England Patriots, running back out for the season. So, you know, that means the kid.
Are you sure? Okay, because I'm
yeah,
he's out
real
for the
GM.
Season. Wow.
It's a torn ACL and MCL.
Wow.
out for the season, Stephen Ridley.
Because Mayo's out.
Yeah.
For just for the games. You're saying Ridley's out for the whole season?
Yeah, Ridley's out for the season.
Because, you know, the Patriots are so tight-lipped.
Yeah, so that means Vereen, and then this kid White that they drafted, James White, will have to step up. So anyway, Eagles, blow them out. There's not much to say. You know, I was wrong with the Giants. I thought they'd do something. They couldn't run the ball with Williams, couldn't get anything going. I was sort of very impressed. 8 sacks, 6 on Eli. What do you think about the Eagles and how strong they look? 27-0
over the Giants. The Eagles look great. The Giants look terrible. LeSean McCoy's back.
Yeah.
Premier runner. Darren Sproles, when they get him back, he's just another cog in that engine. I think they're figuring out that whole offensive line. And Zach Ertz, of course, they're going to get the 2 offensive linemen back. So Philly's humming along. I think Philly is going to ultimately win that division. I think the Giants are done. The Giants are just done, especially with Victor Cruz out for the season. Manning is going to, you know, have a couple good games.
Although backup's going to have to really step up. Him and Randall.
Yeah. It's funny. The two LSU kids. And Andre Williams. So they've got some issues. I think the Giants, it's funny because this would have been the year for the Giants. You know, I spoke to some Giant fans. I did some on-the-ground research, and the Giant fans over here in New York were saying, well, why did they win 3 games? If this were going to happen, might as well just lose all of our games. And I was thinking, you know what? You're not half wrong, because this is the year that you could draft a quarterback to replace Eli in 2 years, right? You get yourself a Mariota. You get yourself a Winston. You get yourself a Brett Hundley or somebody like that. This is the year to draft a quarterback. Anyway, I think the Giants are done. Giants will probably end up with 6 or 7 wins this season, and they're done. Philly looks great on offense if they can keep it together on defense, which they looked fantastic rushing Eli yesterday, and their secondary played well. So great for Philly, terrible for the Giants, and horrible for Victor Cruz. We hope he comes back healthy next season.
Definitely. Now, 2 teams, you talk about, you know, drafting quarterbacks, and I tell you, these 3 teams cannot win. Jacksonville, the Raiders, and Tampa gets blown out again. What you saw from Joe Flacco, ladies and gentlemen, in 16 minutes of football, 5 touchdown passes, that was amazing. Before you knew it was over. 48-17, Joe Flacco got busy. Torrey Smith woke up, but here's the funny thing.
Torrey Smith had 5 catches for, 41 yards and 2 touchdowns in the first 7 or 8 minutes of play, and then didn't do a thing after that.
Yeah,
your boy from Maryland is just killing me. He's just killing me. I dropped him last week on my fantasy team, and even though he scored a few points this week, I can't mess with him.
Yeah, and then you got Larry Fitzgerald, like I said, with the caller, woke up, big win, 30-20. So that was good for fantasy, for Fitzgerald to get going. Palmer's back.
I got him in our league. You're lucky. Otherwise, I'd be beating you.
Now, tonight, this is what's interesting. We talk about a battle. Ray has got Crabtree and Brian Quick. I have Frank Gore, and I believe I'm up 20 points or 19.6 or something. Oh, I thought it was 137-107. Oh, so 30 points. Yeah,
30 points.
Okay.
Yeah, and we're in a PPR, so I got a little bit of an advantage in the sense that I have 2 wide receivers going.
No, it's going to be close. It's just a matter of you basically want a shootout. You want 33-30, the Niners beating the Rams. And I want
I don't want Frank Gore to catch anything out of the backfield.
And I want like 16-10. And I want 16-10. Frank Gore pushes it for a touchdown and 105 yards, you know. So, hey, we got to give props, though, to Phillip Rivers, because Brandon Oliver steps in. Looks like Darren Sproles gets over 100 yards his first start. They win 31-28. At least the Raiders are trying, right? Tampa Bay and Jacksonville. Well, Jacksonville's trying, too, but and barely lost to Tennessee 16-14. But the Raiders, they played hard. Their Carr, I will say this, Bortles, Bridgewater, and Carr, they're all going to be legit. They look very promising. They just need stuff around them. Bridgewater has no help. Bortles has young, talented receivers and no running game and no offensive line. And the Raiders, Derek Carr, he's just got a mess around him. But 28 points, Derek Carr played a pretty good game. But Phillip Rivers, Ray, How do you feel about Rivers, 31-28, and his stats, and him, and Royal, and Malcolm Floyd, and Gates? What do you think about Phillip and the MVP candidate?
I tell you what, it's about time that Phillip Rivers put it all together, right? He's gone deep in the playoffs before, never quite made it to a Super Bowl. He's won regular season games. He's had LaDainian Tomlinson in the beginning of his career.
And that draft class with Ben and Eli both got two Super Bowl wins.
He got traded for Eli, right? Remember that?
Yeah.
Eli said, "I'm not playing for the Chargers." And in retrospect, he won himself two Super Bowls. You can't really knock it. But, you know, the Chargers, LaDainian Tomlinson, Chargers have a nice little team. So, but that's, you know, that's neither here nor there. That's 10 years ago. But I tell you what, man, Phillip Rivers. For MVP, he's like the wily veteran now, you know, and he wears his little bolo, and he's, you know, he's ready.
You got to love it. 313 yards, three touchdowns, no INTs.
Yep, a 93.4 QBR, and this kid, Brandon Oliver, I tell you what, Ryan Matthews, I've always had issues with his durability, his toughness.
Oh, he might have lost his job.
He's a talented player, and you really want him. You look at him and you say, wow, this guy could be a top five, top ten running back. But I tell you what, man, they're getting it between, you know, they had Donald Brown until he got hurt. But this kid, Brandon Oliver, man, I picked him up on one of my fantasy teams. He looks like he can play. And he's like a little Darren Sproles, but he's bigger. Right, he's thick, so he can do some of the things that Sproles can do out of the backfield. He can run, he can catch. I mean, this guy looks like a nice little player. He had four receptions and 26 carries, so he touched the ball 30 times.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. I wanted to just throw this out there, right, because if you thought about the top five receivers and you said, okay, Megatron, A.J. Green, Demaryius Thomas, Brandon Marshall, and Dez Bryant, right? People, you could switch the order, but people would say those are the top five, and then, you know, you could say Julio Jones is somewhere in there or six or whatever. But if you look at the top five receivers, they number 6 through 10, and if you were doing a top 10 list, are actually 1 through 5 in yards and leading. So number one, Jordy Nelson, who's getting busy, 630?
I know you have him. You're excited.
Yep, Jordy Nelson, I got him. And then Antonio Brown is second, Julio Jones third, T.Y. Hilton fourth, and Steve Smith Sr., the veteran, fifth. How about that? How about Steve Smith, 573 yards? The Carolina Panthers look crazy because if they would have had Smith and Benjamin, you know, maybe they wouldn't have tied the Bengals. They would have just beat them.
Oh, can we – all right. Can we talk about that for a minute?
I know that pisses me off. I hate ties. What the
you
heck?
You know I hate ties. You know I hate ties. It's your play to the death. No. You have to have a tie eventually in football because it just people get hurt. You can't just play 6, 7, 8 quarters of football unless it's the playoffs. But so many missed opportunities. You hate to point to a kicker because kickers are sometimes they get too much of the blame. But Mike Nugent just had a chance to end the game, and it was right in the middle, and it was lined up, and it was just perfect. What happened? Now, granted, nothing's a sure thing, but you know what? He's a veteran.
Yeah, that was unbelievable. Unbelievable. The Bengals, you play that good without your best receiver, you got to win the game. And kudos to Mohamed Sanu, who just got busy. I mean, he performed like
he
was.
Does he
have to
pick up if he's available in
league? He shouldn't be available. He's been doing it all season as the number two receiver for them. But if you don't have him and he's available, scoop him up in a heartbeat. He's been playing great, and he'll be number one receiver next week. Reggie Bush will be back next week. Your boy from Notre Dame, Theo Reddick, did okay. How about the Lions? Let's give the Detroit Lions a little bit of props. I mean, no big deal to beat Minnesota, right? But they're, what are they, 4-1?
But they're winning road games, 4-2.
4-2, yeah. I mean, they're playing some good football.
And they're winning on the road. And you know what? You just got to win. You just got to win, especially without Megatron. You just have to win and wait till he comes back.
That hurts the Bengals, yeah. To not win that game when you had the chance to win without A.J. Green. If you can win without your best player in the league, you've got to snatch it and be thankful. And let's say this. In the loss, they actually played well. 31-17, Broncos beat the Jets. You know, Manning didn't break the record. Geno didn't play half bad. I just think this situation is either you're getting rid of Rex or you're going to get rid of Izik. And I think Rex does more with less. D. Milner got hurt. He's out for the season. Another one. So all their corners are hurt. I just think that it's unfair. And the reality is you can't even judge Geno because he hasn't really had anybody to throw to. The tight end's dropping wide open balls.
Yeah, but, as a Jet fan, like, you know how you get your grades, A, B, C, D, and, you know, incomplete, or F, and then incomplete. So we gave the Jets a couple of years, we gave them incompletes because Geno, we didn't know, we didn't this, we didn't that. If you're the owner, if you're Woody Johnson, a.k.a. Tay, how many incompletes are acceptable? So let me ask you right now, if you had to make the decision, I'm going to give you three names. You tell me in or out. So Geno, Rex, and Izik. Who's in and who's out if you're Woody?
I'd say this, right? I'd get rid of Izik. And I try to get somebody.
Even though he was the last one in, and he was forced.
Because I don't like what he did. I don't like what he did, and maybe that was from up top. But if it wasn't from up top, then you did a poor job. And I think you need to. I think I might draft Mariota if I'm in that situation. But you know, I can't just give up. I don't know. It's hard, right? Because you see that you build a team, and if you get the right weapons, I mean, are you impressed with Chris Johnson and Chris Ivory? No, neither one of them. You know, Johnson is too slow now, and Ivory's a pounder, but he's a backup running back, if we're being honest. Was one with the Saints. So, you know what I mean?
I don't mind the moves he made, though. I mean, I think that bringing Johnson in on a contract that was sort of cap-friendly was okay. I like bringing in Eric Decker. I didn't think, you know, Megatron wasn't out there to be had, right? So bringing in...
Right. Why not sign Sanders? Why not try to get a Sanders? Why not try to sign... I don't know.
Right. Emmanuel Sanders would have been better. Okay, so you say Itzik's out. So what do you think about Geno and Rex Ryan?
Geno's still a question mark. If I can get one of the thoroughbred guys, Winston, Mariota, or Hundley, I'll take them. If not... then, you know, maybe I, you know, see if a Petty could do anything, or I can get a Kirk Cousins if I don't believe in Geno, but I'd like to give him one season. I'd like to give him one season with real weapons, with Decker being a number two receiver and getting him a better third receiver. Curley could be my fourth. You know, David Nelson and Silas, they don't even matter. Sorry, guys. You know, David Nelson could be my four or five. But, I mean, I'm just being honest, you know. Look at the weapons that this guy has. How come they didn't draft Devontae Adams? By the way, nice touchdown and an up-and-coming rookie for the Packers getting busy. And Landry in that same game, touchdown for Miami. 27-24, bad loss for the Dolphins. But, you know, Aaron Rodgers is so clutch. In Marino's house, does a fake spike, Marino.
He does the fake. You know that hurt us as Jet fans because we remember that.
Aaron Rodgers spiked this. That's your guy. I know you were happy. I was happy. Jordy did good. But come on, look at how clutch. Look at that. Devontae Adams, like the Packers needed another receiver? No, but they realized that, you know what? He's going to be a good guy. And to go with Cobb and Nelson, he'll be a star number three receiver.
And all right, well, let me change gears a little bit. And as a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, you got to talk to me about what happened. What happened
What do they call it
now? First Energy Stadium in Cleveland.
You're doing this to me. All right, so what I saw and what I felt was absolute disgust. 31-10. We could get nothing going. Ben needs to talk with Ben. He needs like some time in the mirror, and he's got to figure out what's going on. Because I think for him, you know, it's touchdown and interception, but some bad incompletion. Le'Veon Bell is second in the league in rushing, so he's fine. 82 yards, you know, 18 carries. Excuse me, if we were winning, he would have more carries. Antonio Brown is a stud. I told you, it's Bell and Brown. You don't worry about that. He gets 7 for 118. Antonio Brown's a stud. Look, we've been drafting offensive line and defense. It seems like we can't. We're cursed with the injuries. Timmons goes down. Worlds goes down. We just can't stay healthy. And guess what? Brian Hoyer is a real deal. Manziel could get traded.
Hoyer on 17 attempts won the game. 217 yards passing, had a QBR of almost 94. I mean, he's managing the game and making plays when he needs to, you know.
Ben Tate is an animal.
He really is. And, you know, we were flirting with this notion of Isaiah Crowell, who actually played okay.
Yeah. He played good.
All these other backups.
Didn't even play. He was benched.
Exactly. Weston Crowell, but Ben Tate, that's the real deal right there.
No.
And Jordan
Cameron
has that long 50-yard touchdown, and he's starting to come back off his injury. So what does this mean for the AFC North? Are you worried? Are you worried? You still think you can make the playoffs at 3-3?
It's going to be tight this year, I got to say, because you know what? I'm so impressed with Flacco and what the Ravens are doing. And the Harbaugh brothers, one thing they can do, they can coach their butts off. And this Cleveland team, you get back Gordon with Travis Benjamin, who I like, Jordan Cameron. They got the veteran, Miles Austin, and this kid Gabriel's okay. The Browns are not going to be that bad. You know, next year they get a legit receiver in the draft, and, you know, they probably need, I don't want to say another corner, but they probably need another good defensive lineman, and the Browns will be ripping and ready to go. So they're the Browns, but like we said, the Browns are still a year or two away, you know, but I don't think Manziel's ever going to hit the field. So I would trade him to the Rams.
Johnny Manziel won't hit the field ever. In Cleveland, it's Brian Hoyer.
He's good. He's not a backup. He's a starter. He learned under Brady. He's earned his stripes. And when he was out here in the Cardinals, he didn't really get the opportunity, and they didn't have the weapons. The kid, he plays good football, man. So I don't know what else to say. The Steelers, they could not do anything, and the injuries keep coming. You know, it's not an excuse, but when you lose 4 or 5 linebackers in one season, that wipes out any team, you know.
It's not an excuse. It's a reality.
It's a reality. It just is. And you know what's a reality? We got to give some props to the New England Patriots going into Buffalo and taking care of the business. That was, Gronk, Edelman. Edelman was sitting there on my bench. I wish I had him in instead of Victor Cruz. Then I really smoke you. But 37-22, Tom Brady, ladies and gentlemen, he's back. 3 more with less. Very impressive. So,
we got a few minutes remaining. Yeah, let's talk about the game tonight, and let's talk about Thursday.
Thursday, yeah, Jets and Patriots. So, well, tonight, look, the best team ever, the most wins Monday night. This is the 700 Monday night game. 43 wins from the Niners. So they're like number one. I know the Raiders and other teams have good records, probably the Patriots. The Niners have the most wins on Monday night, so I thought that was interesting. I'm sorry, Rams. You know, give Austin Davis credit. Give the coach credit. They're scrappy. They play. Their defense has not been that good this year, and I'm surprised because they actually have a good defense. But I think the Niners are too much. I think Gore gets going. Maybe you'll see Brandon Lloyd and Stevie Johnson do a little something. Hopefully not Crabtree. Vernon Davis does something.
I need Quick and Crabtree, baby.
I know you do.
Come on now. Quick,
get your 5 receptions for 40 yards, you know. But,
I'll take the 9 points.
All right, yeah. I say the Niners pretty hand. Some passion. The Rams keep it a little close. But the Niners, I had them in my knockout pool this week. Niners win 23-13.
Okay, I've got to agree with that. I mean, I think that combination of Davis, Stacy, and Quick is not bad. But I think this Niners D is starting to come together. At least I talk myself into thinking that.
Oh, yeah.
The only thing that the Niners might have against them is if they're looking ahead to next week against the Broncos. So that's the
only
thing.
Where Manning gets a record. against
the
Niners.
This could be a trap game. You never know if Harbaugh might be, you know, saying to himself, I don't want Manning to break these records against us. And therefore, maybe.
Not that type of team, though. You know. That's
true. That's the only thing I'm thinking is if they look ahead, maybe they put some wrinkles in the game plan, thinking ahead to Denver.
In the division of the road, you got to play, you know.
I personally, you're right. I personally don't think that's going to happen. But like I said, that's the only way they would if they overlook the Rams a little bit. I think the Niners just go out and steamroll them. I think the Niners jump on them early and often. I think your boy Frank Gore does well. I think Kaepernick does even better. Probably the Niners put up 31 on these guys, and maybe they hold the Rams to 17. So I think they win by 2 touchdowns.
Wow. Okay. That's 31. That's a lot of points. Okay. So now, when you think about Thursday, you know, this Jets Patriots rivalry is really a classic. You know, the AFC East, you know, is probably not that good, where we thought the NFC East wouldn't be not that good, and turns out it's half good. I just can't see the Jets doing much in Foxborough, where they have struggled the last 12 years with Brady there and Belichick or whatever. I think that the Patriots are going to embarrass them, even though the Jets always play tough and Rex designs.
Yeah, that's why I think the game will be close. I think
that too, but the problem is with Milner out now, and they've lost a lot of players. And maybe Stark will be back. I'm not sure for the Patriots offensive lineman who was out. Yeah, maybe missing Ridley will be rough. But this kid Timms gets a touchdown. Maybe he gets going some more. Tim Wright got a touchdown. Oh, man, it's too much. I'll tell you right now, this will be close in the sense that it'll be 10 points. 27-17, Patriots beat the Jets. Thursday night football. And Gronkinator, 90 yards and a touchdown. The Gronkinator.
Really?
My name is Gronk. Gronkinator.
Okay, well, I think that the Jets always play the Patriots tight, and Rex Ryan is a master motivator, so I think he's able to keep the game tight. So
then why do you
want Jets to
fire him? Why do you want to fire him?
Oh, get rid of Rex. You got to change it up.
He premiere.
You got to change it up. Hold on. We got to call her right as the show's ending. But I like the Jets. I like the Jets to keep it close. I like the Pats to win, though. I think the Pats win 27-20. Hold on.
All right. Let's get the call.
Caller, you're on the air with Ray and Tate.
How about them Cowboys?
Oh, there's our guy. I was waiting to hear from you. All right. How about them Cowboys?
Listen, guys, I don't. I'm an old-school Cowboy fan. I don't celebrate regular season wins. I celebrate championships.
There you go.
You haven't done that in a while, though.
Well, hey, that's just the mentality of a Cowboy fan, you know. We're not like, you know, the Eagles or the Lions that are, you know, getting all excited over a good start. The Seahawks were just another game to us. Now we're moving on to the Giants. And that's kind of my problem, guys. I still saw some shakiness in the Cowboys, a lot of talent, a lot of things going good, offensive and defensive coordinator. But Garen Romo still scare me. That end of the game, the way their clock management, they've been doing
right.
this the last
it
couple
gave,
weeks
out,
against
right.
the
it gave Seattle the opportunity. Yeah.
And the same thing happened last year against Detroit. They could have ran it down to about 20 seconds. They ran the ball, got a holding call, and last year Detroit went and won the game. You're telling me with about a minute and 10 to go, you don't either take a knee or you run it up the middle and let 40 seconds go instead of getting a penalty and then having Russell Wilson with 1:05. I know Dallas, it didn't come back and bite him, but that's just terrible. It's like Barry Switzer, guys. Back then, the Cowboys won despite him because all the good coaching and all the talent around him. I just have a feeling if it comes to the playoffs I'm not sold on Garrett. And Romo, you know, that one timeout he called with under 2 minutes, he should have let the play clock run down to 1 second, but he called a timeout with like 5 seconds. Those are 4 seconds. So those are dumb mistakes, guys. You know,
you're right.
I know you guys are running low on time here, but I just wanted to, you know, give a shout out to the Cowboys and say, don't look past the Giants. They just got shut out. And if you come into that game with the big head, you know, they're down now. Victor Cruz is out. Everyone's down, but everyone knows Eli's record in the new billion-dollar stadium in Texas. So just come out and play like a regular NFC East game. No looking ahead.
Well, you know what? I got to say this, though, and ask you this. As a Cowboy fan, because Ray's won too, you do have to feel confident about the fact that you are staying disciplined to the running game. And DeMarco Murray is probably going to get another 100 yards against the Giants because they haven't been stopping a run too great either. So are you pleased with the offensive line and the fact that the Cowboys have sort of a new focus in terms of a dedication to the run?
Oh, I am, and I tell you what I'm even more pleased about is Randall and Dunbar getting in the run game more yesterday than I saw all year. You know, Dunbar, he's a threat catching the ball out of the backfield, and I didn't see that all year until yesterday's game. You know, they just threw a couple, you know, third and 15, second and long situations, a few dump-offs to Dunbar, and he turned them into big first downs there in the first half. And, you know, Randall, he got going too, so Murray's playing great, but I'm almost thinking any, you know, halfway decent running back could do good behind this line. And I'm thrilled to death. You know, we got three running backs, you know, receivers, you know, offensive line. But like I said, I just one game at a time.
No, you're right.
I agree with that. And I still think Philly's going to win the division, but Dallas is really good right now for a wild card. And I wasn't saying that before the beginning of the season. I thought they'd be 6-10, 7-9. I thought that defense couldn't recover from the year before. I thought it would take them 2 years to recover. But focusing on the offensive line, you always had offensive talent. And hey, I'm surprised as anybody, but I'm happily surprised.
Guys, last comment, then I'll go here quick. I know you're closing up. Next 4 weeks for Dallas: three home games in Jacksonville and London. They don't play on the road for 6 weeks because they got the bye there, I believe, after Jacksonville. So, you know, Giants, Redskins, and Arizona at home, then Jacksonville in London. They can really make some hay here, and the schedule's looking good. They got the tough part of the year over with San Fran, New Orleans, you know, Seattle.
Right, but don't
so
Philly game in 2 weeks, Philly after the Giants?
No, they don't have Philly till on Thanksgiving is the first Philly game, and then 2 weeks later they play in Philly. So they got Philly twice in a three-week period after Thanksgiving.
Okay, so then you got Giants, Redskins, Arizona, and Jacksonville. That's not bad.
So even if you get 3-1, Arizona, you go 8-2, that would be great.
Yeah, you know, the one game I'm worried about is the Redskins, because if you look over the last 30 years, it doesn't matter who has the better record, who's playing better. That it seems like the other team always comes back and bites them in the butt. You know what I mean? Dallas is only win, you know, 1-15, and Jimmy Johnson's first year was against the Redskins.
That's right.
So it just goes to tell you in that game, I never put pencil that in as a win. But hey, guys, thanks for the time.
Hey, you know, that's right, Mike. Take care.
And LeBron looks good in Cleveland. Oh man. Great call, Mike. Great show. You got your Patriot pick in. And, hey, let's enjoy some Monday Night Football. Should be a great sports week. Everybody enjoy this fall weather. We'll be back Friday talking the big college games over next weekend. Should be some fun games. And then NFL Week 7, Ray. It's
NFL Week 7, Major League Baseball. By the time we get back on, we should probably – be closer to a World Series. So, yeah, good sports week coming up, and let's have some fun. We'll talk to you on Friday.
Definitely. Ray and Tay, talking sports with friends.
We're out.
Peace. Let's go fight for it.